Yeah, good to see you guys, and excited to be in God's presence again. Talking this morning earlier about the cracks of our heart and the cracks of our heart being repaired. I like that. That's so good. Stephen's word on after that on just the rain softening the cracks, filling them in. All of a sudden, those cracks just disappear, right? Parched ground and good rain, and all of a sudden, where'd they go? Everything just looks good again, and that's the same with our hearts. Just get with Jesus this week. Amen. Amen. We're talking about rest again this week, and thanks for hanging in there for that. And so let's start. Anyone good at math? Who's good at math? There's got to be someone good at math. Nobody's good at math? How many are at least fair at math? Maybe not good, but you're okay at math. All right. Well, we got a math problem for you today. Here's a math problem. How many can answer that? Everyone in the first 30 seconds, I can answer that. And now we're thinking about it. Here's a problem with answering this. Now, you can do it if you've got a set of these and you start eliminating things. But if this is just the problem, you're not going to come up with an answer. And why aren't we going to come up with an answer? We need to know what one of those blanks are. It's kind of infinity. It's an infinity number of answers. And just thinking about, we need to have all the variables. We need to put all the right, if we're going to come up with an answer, so many of us were looking for an answer all the time. We're always kind of looking to solve something in our life. We're looking for the answers, and a lot of times we don't put all the variables in there. We don't put the right things into the equation. Here's a different way of looking at that same thing. Here we go. If anyone ever had to measure a box for Amazon or whatever, and you got to know, here's the thing. That box doesn't really care what you call its dimensions. It's like it doesn't really know that it's got width and depth and height. It just is. And I think a lot of times us and as humans, we know what is, right? We just know, like, hey, how are you doing today? And you get a superficial answer. And then if it's a closer friend, like, you know how you're really doing. And then you might get a more real answer. But it's just kind of what is. I'm tired. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm tired. How are you doing? Man, I'm really sad. How are you doing? So one of those is a body thing. One of those is an emotion thing. But there would be very acceptable common answers that we all might say. How are you doing? I'm really excited. All right, that's kind of anticipation, right? That's kind of emotional, kind of tied with our soul. And so if you think about this box has got length and height and width, and ourselves, I guess, us, you've got a body, a spirit, and a soul. So we're going to talk about rest, but I want us to be able to kind of know what we're dealing with today. And let's think about how we don't realize how integrated we are. That you are a soul, you're a spirit, you live in a body, right? All of that is you. All of that is you, and it's all integrated, and you're holistic. And the one thing affects another thing. How many of you have ever gone to school, done classes, or you started a new job and you had to learn the manual, you had to learn a new process, right? So here's what you're doing when you're going to school or work. That's it. That's all you're doing. But you're learning, right? Maybe all the exercise that you're getting is doing this, because you're like me and you can't follow along, so you got to use your finger and you read the words, right? And that's it. But those first 2 weeks, you come home, what do you feel like? Anyone ever been tired after school? After a long day of learning, has anyone ever been exhausted? 12 years of it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It was the longest second grade for George ever. Why? This is all I've done. But I'm exhausted. Why? Because I'm engaging my brain and my mind. So my soul is working. The brain is a part of our brain is part of your body, but the brain work is part of your soul, your mind, right? So you're using that. You're using your soul, but your body is tired. Anyone ever had pain that's lasted for a long time? And just on and on and on every day. And I see that hand, right? Okay, Crystal, does that or does that not affect your soul? Does that affect? But wait, how can it? It's your body, though. But it affects your soul. Does it sometimes make you agitated? Does it sometimes make you sad and depressed? Does it sometimes make you anxious? That's all going on in your soul, but it's something that's happening in your body. Your body's now this is the reverse. We were talking about our soul, how our soul affects our body. Now we're talking about how our body can affect our soul. You would never know it by looking at me, but I just started working out again. Whew, we needed an intervention. Let's just say this spring, I got distracted with some other stuff, wasn't doing so well, and then the flood happened. Oh, man, my poor weights haven't seen me for years, it feels like. And that effect, like, I wasn't healthy in my body, and that affected everything else. It affected, now some of you ultra charismatics, you're going to point your finger at me and tell me this can't be. I'm going to tell you it is. Like, when my body was in such a rundown condition, it was affecting my spirit. Have you ever been just consumed with something? Let's talk about the soul. Yeah. Consumed with something in your soul. You're worried about something coming up. You're ultra focused. Maybe work or maybe the kids or maybe something's going on somewhere else. It doesn't even need to be good or bad. It can be either one of those, and your spirit suffered because of that. Maybe you didn't spend the time with Jesus, or maybe you're just like Stephen was saying earlier, I don't have time for this or whatever. Because of what's going on in our soul, we don't get the benefits from our spirit. Our spirit atrophies. Just like I shrunk down because I wasn't lifting weights, my spirit at times has atrophied because I'm not exercising my spirit. I'm not spending time with Jesus. I'm not praying. I'm not worshiping the Lord. I'm not letting the Word of God feed me. So my spirit suffered because of something my soul was going through. Are we on the same page? Does that make kind of sense? Just you're holistic. The one part of you affects another part of you. One of the famous influencer guys is like, make your bed in the morning. That's been a thing because that one act of organizing one part of your life will start. I still stand in strong defiance of that. I do it because I like being married. And it's not fair for me because she's not here to defend herself, and I've used this before, so I shouldn't get to reuse it again. But the pillows that nobody knows why they're there for. Oh, it's not the ones you sleep on. No, the other ones. What are those for? And it's for other stuff. We don't know what. We've been 26 years of marriage. No one's ever found out what they're. It's like the other towels in the bathroom. We don't have those, fortunately. But I'll make the bed, and it does make a difference. Now, I still would probably not make it if it was just me, but getting something ordered in your life spills over into other areas of your life. And so here's what I'm trying to say as we're talking about rest. If you get the wrong idea, we're going to kind of help define it. We're going to look in Hebrews today and look at kind of where it's talking about rest a little bit more, get a little more nuggets from that. But as we've been spending a couple weeks talking about rest, sometimes we think, oh, my soul is so weary. Like, oh, this, I've just kind of been beat down. People are against me, or, we've read the Psalms, whatever. Kind of, that's what we spent last week on. David said, come on, soul, find rest in God. And we oftentimes, if we don't do that, if we don't follow that advice, if we're just kind of saying, oh, I just need a break. And now that might be true, but we're thinking that that's going to solve something that it's really not going to solve. Or I just need to get healthier and then I'll feel better about life. And sometimes we do, we get healthier and we're just as miserable as we were before because now we're not even eating good stuff. Fun things. That was a joke. But it's true. I'm sad. I'm often, my soul is sad when I'm dieting. But I know it's for the good. I know it's helping me. And so what I'm saying is, if we truly want to find rest, it's a spiritual principle. Now, I didn't put this one on the slides. There's a Sabbath rest. Say Sabbath. That was Sabbath day, Saturday. That would be our Sunday. It's a carving out physically of time and not doing stuff. Not to be legalistic, but because we're on rhythms. We're not going to talk about the rhythms of life and how God designed that, but that's really healthy for us. But that's not, and there's in Hebrew, it'll be talking about a Sabbath rest or whatever. That's the day of it, but that's not the principle of it that we're talking about. And so we're talking about finding rest for our souls, finding rest for our souls. Let's look at, I put that up there so I didn't forget. One area affects all of the other areas of our life. Look at what, if we're going to skip out on the spiritual principle of it, Jesus had this to say about it. The Spirit is the one who gives life. Hold on, just pause on that. The Spirit gives what? Life. Now, if we're just in a bad spot and we need to find rest, sometimes what we're saying is, my soul is tired, I've been beat up, I've been weary, I've been pushing too hard. I'm all for it. We're going to go at the end of this month on a vacation that we desperately need. And we're looking forward to that. There's a rest in that. That will be some physical rest, some soul rest. But we're talking about a bigger principle, and it's a spiritual principle. And Jesus said, if you're finding rest for your souls and rest for your bodies, hey, great. But it's the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. And in the context of, not that we don't rest our flesh, because that's what Sabbath is all about. But it doesn't help in the wholeness of you as a human being. The flesh doesn't have anything to offer for you being whole on the inside. That's the Spirit of God. So that's what Jesus is trying to say here. He said, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. All right, let's talk about rest. A lot of times when we think about rest, we kind of already covered this here, but this is what we think of when we think of rest. Rest means stop doing something. Which we're going to find out is not at all what biblical rest is. It's not even a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a rhythm. There is a Sabbath day, like where we don't do a lot. And we just spend time filling our souls, and we read, and we spend time with our families, and we just relax, and we go to the lake, and we recharge. That's rest. And some of it might include this. I'm all for a Sunday afternoon nap. That's biblical. That's part of Sabbath. But when we're talking about in the bigger principle of how to get your soul fixed, that's part of it, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're not just talking about stopping something. And so someone asked me 2 weeks ago, you're talking about rest. Isn't rest, is that just peace? Is that kind of the same thing? And Jesus said, come to me, remember last week? 2 weeks ago? No, last week. Come to me, all who are, and I will give you. What about peace? He didn't say peace. He said rest, which includes peace. So if we want to define rest a little more biblically, kind of this is, it's all of these things and it's more, and it can be just some of these things in certain cases when the scripture's talking about it, but We're talking about rest. We're talking about peace. Say peace. Peace. We all know what that feels like. We're also talking about safety. This, you know, hide me under the shelter of your wings, God says in the Psalms. Like, it's this safeness. Jesus, in the middle of a storm that was life-threatening, he had rest. You know what he did? He took a nap. Amen? How many of us in the middle of our storms take a nap? No, we don't. We're like, help! Like we're, it's echoey in here. You can just really kind of lay into that. I'm not really a screamy kind of preacher, as you've noticed, if you've been around me for a while, but once in a while, we'll get the echo going. Like most of us are just like it's really easy for us to take this shifter and put it right into panic mode. And we just, but Jesus wasn't. He had rest. He had rest. He knew there was this safety. Here's what we'll end up getting to. It's a lack of chaos. When the Bible's talking about rest, it's talking about a lack of chaos, a lack of inner turmoil, outer turmoil. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the storm, Jesus had no chaos. He had peace. He had this presence, but he also did not have chaos. Don't let what's going on outside of you get on the inside of you. Come on, church. rest. Hold on. Let's stop on this nugget right here. This is not in your notes or my notes. It's don't let what's on the outside of you get on the inside of you. Rest is not letting what's out there get in here. Right? And I'm talking about the bad stuff. I'm talking about the chaos, the turmoil. And so many of us, we're just sponges. And I'm just picking on me, right? Maybe you can relate. I walk into a chaotic situation and I'm like, oh, I'll have some. We're just kind of wired to do that, right? All these people, they're all offended about something that you may or may not have anything to do with. And you're like, oh, yeah, me too. I'm going to be offended at that too. Oh, right. They had no right to do that. What are we talking about? You're like, I see your garbage poured in. Right? And we do, not you, just me. I'm just talking about me. Right? People do that all the time. Rest is being in this place with Jesus where I can empathize with you in the middle of that, and then I can bring out kingdom solutions. That's what rest. It's not that we're just like, oh, don't say that. That's not rest. It's I hear what you're saying. I get your frustration with that. How can we bring this forward in a kingdom way? If you wanna keep your heart from getting full of that, just in the middle of that group, just say, hey, let's stop and pray. All of a sudden people just get mad. Fine, whatever. Because they want to share their garbage with you, right? They want to share their chaos with you. Come on, man, let's here. This is really good. Have some. And you're like, let's just pray for them. Let's pray for us. Ooh, I'm really going to get mad. But we don't have to partake of that. That's what rest is. So last week we talked about, you know, God was telling Moses that I'm going to go with you and I'm going to give you rest. And Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Part of one of the little nuggets, we need to know this because Hebrews is going to talk about some other stuff. It says, give them rest, and like we're going to get rest in the promised land. So in Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, it says, now if Joshua had succeeded, so this is New Testament. If you're new to the Bible, this is in the New Testament. So this is after Jesus. And Joshua and Moses and the Old Testament, that's all the, you guys remember the, hey, let my people go, you know, the Red Sea, that was Moses, and then he didn't get to go into the rest land, the promised land. His aide, his servant, Joshua, he was the next leader. He brought them into the promised land. So that's what this is, if you're unfamiliar with those stories, that's what this is talking about. Because God told Moses and God told Joshua, I'm gonna bring this whole nation into the promised land, this the good place, and you're going to find rest. And it says that if Joshua had succeeded, then God wouldn't have spoken about another one. Well, let's look at what he's talking about. This is Joshua 21. This is kind of after all. It's after Moses. Moses is the Ten Commandments, you know, then Moses died, and then Joshua was raised up, and he's like, all right, we're going to do this. And so this is the end of chapter 21. Verses 43 says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. This is like the end of the story. The credits are playing. It's like, ah, right? They finally made it. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. The Lord gave them what? Rest. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. And then in the next chapter, 22, he says, now that the Lord your God has given them rest as he promised, this is for two tribes of Israel, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. So we find that, all right, they got rest. And yet we just read in Hebrews that if Joshua had given him rest, then God wouldn't be talking about something else. So that there was rest, and yet it was a foreshadow of something that you and I get to experience. You get to experience the rest of God, and you're not going to a land called Canaan. You're in Sisseton, or wherever you live at. Buffalo Lake. I don't know, wherever you live. But there's a rest. So we see, So Canaan is one of the meetings. He was going to go mow with Moses and then with Joshua. Then he says there's another day of rest or a special rest or God's rest. This is all in Hebrews, what we were just reading. So we started out, if Joshua had given him, so now there's another day of rest still to come. So there's a special rest still with, this is New Testament, this is after Jesus, okay, saying still waiting for the people of God. Who's a people of God? Are you a people of God this morning? Are you a people of God this morning? If you're not, you can be. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to wash your sins away. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose, he was buried, he rose on the third day. And surrender your life to him. You can ask me after church how we do that and what that means, but surrender your life to him. And you can be a people of God. If that's you, then this verse is telling you that you have access to a special rest. A rest. Well, what kind of rest? Well, there's another day of rest. There's a special rest for all who have, the end of this verse says, for all who have entered into God's rest, have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Don't believe Hebrews? Let's go back and look at Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. All right, so you guys with me now? I know this can be a... Here's why I gave you the three-dimensional box and the problem that you couldn't solve. Some of this gets a little... It gets in your head a little. Like, oh, God, wait now. Okay, what? We're just laying some groundwork for you to know that this is a spiritual principle. When Paul wrote letters... I think it was Peter that he's like, okay, Peter is a book in the Bible, and he was the head apostle. He's like, some of the stuff Paul's writes is hard to understand, right? So sometimes you can get in the weeds a little bit. We're like, what are we talking about? And here's what, here, listen to me. Let's focus for one second. Here's the danger. Pastor, just give me a nugget so I can feel better and walk out of church and feel a little bit better about my week. I've been there. You've been there. We're trying to lay some groundwork on what God's really talking about so that when the really simple five-minute fix doesn't work, we can organize our lives around the scripture and find out how God wants really to live our lives through us. And so that's why we spend time on some of this, because it'd be real easy to come in here and say, all right, you want success in your life? This week we're going to do this. Yay! And right? And you just... But we haven't really gone very deep. And that when that wears off, and another voice besides mine or your neighbors or whatever, you get out in your normal life and it gets hard on Monday, you're like, someone's like, well, what about the, yeah, you thought Sunday was good. Well, it was. And then you're just struggling. So we don't want you to struggle. We want to be in the presence of God. We want to be immersed in him. So we're trying to learn this stuff. There's a guy by the name of Aaron McDonald that I've got four or five slides from. And he's just got some rich stuff talking about rest. And he says this, our mistaken concept is that rest equates to inactivity. Stop there, right? Okay, every time you hear the word, every time I've been talking today, you're like in the back of your mind, the video is playing, just stop doing something. Rest, stop doing it, right? And that's not what we're talking about. He'll go on and tell you. It equates to inactivity, to leisure, to doing nothing, because God has done everything. So I get to rest, right? He says, but even as that is a misunderstanding of grace, it's also a misunderstanding of rest. Rest, listen to this. Rest is what God did when he finished his work of creation. And he asked this question. Did God retire once his creative work was finished? Like some people think so. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that we find in Scripture. He says, by no means. That was the very point that he began to exercise authority over what he just created. That gives us an initial clue of what God's rest is. So God rested, he created, then he rested. But as he's resting, he's now leading creation. So there's something that happened there that means something other than inactivity. We think, I think, I still, in the back, I can feel it right now playing in the back, and God rested on the seventh day. I picture, oh, dude, Holy Spirit, that was a lot of work. I don't know, that's not right, but that's what I picture, because God rested, because that's the word we use for rest, right? That's what we think about when we think of rest. But he finished his creation, and he didn't stop because he was tired, he stopped because he was done. Still with me? God didn't stop because he was worn out. He stopped because it was finished. It is finished. Where else did we? Why does that sound so familiar? It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. La Crosse, I think we're going there for vacation. Oh, the cross. Okay, got it. Right. And now Jesus says we can enter into his rest. Whoa, wait a minute. It's almost like the Bible's connected. So we find that God creates, and then it's finished, and so he rests. He doesn't stop doing stuff. He enters into rest. That should bother you. That should bother your head, because we think rest means stopping doing something. God didn't stop doing something. He rested, because it was finished. And it makes it like a cocklebur stuck in my brain, right? Because that doesn't fit the definitions that I normally have. And on the cross, Jesus says, it's finished. And now we can enter into that salvation. But did Jesus stop working? Absolutely not. We said it this morning. He's working here. He's working in our hearts, right? Do we stop working? No way. Not in that sense. We stop working in another sense. So let's see what else he says. Aaron says, the verb used to describe how God put, so remember that in the story? I don't have that verse up there, but God put Adam into the garden, right? He put him there. The word put is usually translated as rest. So the best translation would be God put Adam into the garden to rest. Huh, interesting. Yet Genesis clearly also says that God put Adam into the garden to work it and keep it. Which is it? Is he supposed to rest or is he supposed to work? I don't know. Seems like he's saying two different things. That brings us to an unexpected conclusion. Adam exercised the government of God over the garden, yet this activity of ruling and reigning, of working and keeping, is described as rest. It's described as rest. Let's look at this. I'm trying to decide what I want to say here. Tohu vabohu. You ever had kids that make up their own language or whatever? This is not one of those. This is a Hebrew saying. Tohu, not tofu. Tohu vabohu. It can be described as chaotic or as unordered. Where in the world do we find those words? Let me show you. It's in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was tohu vabohu. It was formless and empty. It was chaotic. It was unrestful. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Let's go back to Aaron and see what he has to say. So now we understand that the resting place of God is the very place where God begins his rule. God first subdued disorder, right? Earth was formed, it was tohu vabohu. It was, whether it was chaotic, there was a lack of order. And God began to order things. Then he began to rule over what he created. At the beginning of creation, the earth was without form and void, tohu vabohu. Once he had brought order from chaos and nothingness, and thus finished his creative work, he began to rule over what he created. So here's the deal. Let me highlight this line in here. God first subdued disorder. Then he began to rule over what he created. God started with ordering things, right? He made systems. He made stars and the sun to govern the day and the moon to govern the night, to give us times and understandings. He made creatures at different levels that had symbiotic relationships. He made man to rule over them all, right? We didn't come up with that. God came up with that. There was an order to things. Once God ordered things, then he rested and ruled over it. So God took chaos or disorder or lack of order, nothingness, and he ordered it. He set it up how it was supposed to be set up. That's key. This is key, guys. He set it up how it was. He ordered it how it was supposed to be. Say supposed to be. How it was supposed to be. Who decides how it's supposed to be? Is there some cosmic rule book somewhere that God went off of and said, this is how it should be? God did it. God decided how it should be. This is key for your understanding this. God decided the order of things. Once he created that order and got things in a symbiotic relationship and got the order of life moving, he rested because it was finished. His order was finished. His creation. He didn't just make things. That's the mistake we make. He didn't just make, he's like, poof, trees. Wow, it's green. He didn't just do that. Why is it green? Because the chlorophyll is going to absorb the sunlight, and we can't have too much of this or this system's going to be out of balance. He ordered everything. Amen? He ordered everything. He made it in order. Not like chronological order, but in order, in relationship to one another. This is good, he would say. And on another day, he'd make something. He said, this is good. And it would be in harmony with everything else. There's an order to it all. Once all the order was right for life, according to who? According to God. He stopped because it was finished. And then he began to rule over it. Here's why we have chaos in our life. Because it's because of sin. But here's the position that we take. God, I don't like the order of these things. We take on the role of creator, and we start to reorder things in our life, and we end up with idols, and we end up with out-of-place relationships, and it ends up being sin is what it is, but it's an out-of-order thing because we don't think God did a good enough job when he ordered it the first time, and we can't find rest in that. It's a mess. Creates chaos, right? We want to reorder our chaos in the order that we think it should be, and then we get exhausted because we try to rule over that. It's called manipulation. It's called addiction. It's how we try to rule over this chaos because it's not ordered the way that God wants it ordered. With him first and in the center of our life, us drawing the nutrients from him that we need to draw, and then our life overflowing in love to one another, that's the order that God has among 100 other things. But we reorder it the way that we think it should be. It creates chaos in our life, and then we try to exert rule over chaos. God rules over order. Rest comes from order. John H. Walton says, rest in the biblical sense is not the opposite of activity, it's the opposite of unrest. This unrest, listen, can be the result. Unrest is the result. Unrest comes from either non-order or disorder. Rest is the result of order. So if we want to step into rest, we step into Jesus is Lord. I stop being the Lord of my life. That's why we say things like surrender your heart and like lay down your life and let Jesus take the wheel. You know, like it's all that stuff to get into God's order in our life. We were never meant to be God. And we do it all the time. And it's, let's see, how do we, poopy. I don't know how else to say it. It's chaotic. It's not life-giving. But I try to reorder my life so that I can be. And Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Not just as a consolation prize. Order your life in me, and the rest that you're going to get is now God's rule over your life and functioning proper. Like, don't raise your hand, but man, how many would like to see your life just properly functioning? Isn't that a beautiful, I love systems and things when they're working right. You know, I was a carpenter for years, and I like electronics, and I like when things work how they're supposed to. It frustrates me when things just don't work like they should. I just think the devil's right there. It's not. It's a fallen world. I get it. But I feel like it's a personal attack on me when things just don't work as they should. Right? When we get our life ordered, man, that's what Jesus wants to do. When we come to Christ, he wants to order our life. We think sometimes, this is just a blanket statement, this is none of you guys in here, but like sometimes people think, I just want to come to Jesus so I'll feel better. That's part of it, but that's a consolation prize. We come to life, we come to Jesus so he can reorder our life, and then we find rest, because rest is in order. And in the order, then God rules over that. And as long as our life is in disorder, you will always fight with the rule of God in your life. You will never find the rest. You'll find glimpses of peace, but you'll never find rest. You'll find moments when I'm in church and I feel the presence of God. Oh, I wish I could stay in this moment forever. It's so awesome and amazing. And then you get back out in your disordered life because Jesus isn't ordering your life. You're not letting him, and you're finding unrest and your soul's in chaos. Now you're trying to manage the chaos. You decided I'll create my own rest. Rest is rule over chaos. I'm going to rule. Rest is rule over order. I'm going to rule over chaos. All right, I'm going to make this feel better in my life. And I'm going to demand that you treat me the way. You see what I mean? You start ruling over your chaos. And you know what? It just keeps rotting your soul because you're not made for that. You're made for rest. You're not made for easy. You're made for rest. You're made for rest. Next slide says, Ed Jarrett, I liked this one. He said, God's rest is a state or a place where God rules and manages his creation, free from the chaos and disorder brought about by sin and rebellion. All who will also rest from their own work of bringing their own life under control can enter into God's rest. Two more slides from J.D. Greer, and we'll be done for today. Hallelujah. He says this, when God created everything, he did it by starting with a formless void and then shaping it with his word. He did that to show that in some way our lives are formless void until God's word comes in to bring life and peace and beauty and order. Listen to this last paragraph. The word of God creates, sin decreates every time without exception. And the same is true in our lives. Sin unravels our families. It puts darkness into our hearts and it places us in bondage to addictions. But Jesus. Say, but Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, but Jesus. But Jesus, the word, would come to re-enter a dark, sin-filled, chaotic world, and that word would bring life and light once more. We see Jesus do this all throughout his ministry, undoing the chaos and the darkness left by sin. He heals diseases. He opens the eyes of the blind. He makes the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead come to life. He walks on water and tells hurricanes to sit down and shut up, and they listen. You see, wherever sin had left a dark void in the world, that Jesus comes with a thundering word, let there be light, and there is. Wow. Let's enter God's rest. How did God rest? What is God's? How did he rest? He rested when things were in order. He still kept organizing. He still kept ruling over his creation. He didn't stop. He rested. He rested in, this is working as it should. That was the rest. When you get your life surrendered to Jesus, oh, my friend, I promise you'll still have problems. But your life in Christ will work as it should. When I get weary, I come to Jesus and he fills me up. When I struggle, I look to him. When I'm in distress, I pray and it works as it should. He hears me. He answers my prayers and he fills me up. And it's not always effortless. But Jesus said it would be easy. His yoke is easy. We can struggle through it, but it'll be good because he's faithful. He's promised. Rest is what comes after order. If your life is not experiencing rest, are you ordered under the lordship of Jesus? And is he putting the rest of your priorities in line? Right? We would call those idols, right? Is he pulling those? That's the order of God, because he said, God said, when things are ordered like this, man, you'd be amazed how this machine works. Well, I don't think the wheels should be here. I think they should be in front, turn sideways. It's not going to work like that. And then it's chaotic. And then we try to rule over our chaos. And that we all know what that feels like, right? Don't we? No more of that. Let's find our rest in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to find rest in you. Lord, we know that we can, if we try to rule over it, it's going to be us ruling over chaos. Order our lives on Jesus and on your word, and let us find the rest and peace and life and joy of Jesus in whatever season we're walking in. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.